Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And, wow, you look really good today, sir. Oh, my God, that's just such a beautiful tie. And, oh, man, are you... You're just so such a great boss, and I really like the way you tweet, sir. And sound pretty stupid? Well, that's the way that people are addressing Donald Trump, because they know that is the way to get what you want in the White House, or if you're a foreign leader, the way to get what you want in whatever geopolitical things that you've got going on. It's been fascinating to watch, whether it's the leaders of France or North Korea or, for that matter, congressional leaders, to watch how people play to Donald Trump's ego to get something, right? And that's what they do. And so we find, for example, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, do this whole song and dance with Donald Trump. He originally, about a year ago, Donald Trump was very angry at Macron because he suggested that something that that he wasn't getting, Trump wasn't doing what he wanted to do, and then suddenly he changed his mind. He practically flirted with the man. The comedians made jokes over the fact that he was, holding his hand and smiling a lot. And flattery will get you everywhere. But if you notice, when Macron went before the U.S. Congress, he pounded Donald Trump. Well, not Donald Trump personally, just Donald Trump's policies. He attacked nationalism. He attacked racism. He attacked the isolationism that Donald Trump is so fond of, backing out of international relationships. He criticized the desire of the United States to stop fighting climate change, to get out of the Paris Accord. And he got a very, very warm reception in Congress. And everybody knows he was trolling Donald Trump, with the probable exception of Donald Trump. What are we to make of a president who is so easily beguiled by insincere flattery? Case two, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, right? Develops nuclear weapons. Now has the weapon system to deliver it all the way, apparently, across the world to the United States, and incurs Donald Trump's wrath. But then, a little bit of praise, a little bit of suggestion that Donald Trump could, win a Nobel Prize, and suddenly, this brutal dictator who regularly murders, tortures, and imprisons hundreds of thousands of the poor, benighted people of North Korea, well, he's on the good-to-go list with Donald Trump. I mean, all you have to do is look at, for maybe a less geopolitical example, look at Ronny Jackson, the president's one-time doctor. Doctor to Bush, doctor to Obama, went overboard in describing the incredible health of the obese president of the United States. And suddenly he is nominated to be the chair of the Veterans Administration. Now, it turned out Ronny Jackson had his own issues. Apparently, according to reports, he would hand out pills like candy, so much that they called him the Candy Man, and would get drunk and, and otherwise act unbecoming in his position. And, of course, not to mention he had no experience whatsoever in running any large organization, much less something as large as the Veterans Administration, the second largest, after the military, the second largest government agency. But how did he get there? He got there by praising Donald Trump. And we find this is true throughout the White House. The White House is becoming yes men, yes women. Kellyanne Conway, for example, great example of a yes woman, or Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And what's interesting about all this is that these, I think, are the things that it's fair to complain about, to even joke about. Imagine if at the correspondents' dinner, which occurred Saturday night, if you had the comedian actually comically point out that how easily this president is manipulated by insincere flattery. Now, I'm not a comic, clearly, but I can think of already several funny ways to go about that. The point is that people who are easily changed, moved, manipulated by flattery are actually quite dangerous. Anyone can flatter someone else. And most of us like to receive flattery, right? Sure, you like my radio show? Please tell me. I like to hear it. But if you want something from me and you're flattering me, that's a horse of a different color, right? I mean, thank you. Glad to know you like my show. But if you like my show and tell me how wonderful, fantastic, and incredibly good I am and perfect all the time because you want me to do X, Y, or Z, maybe, I don't know, promote your product on the air without paying for an ad, whatever it is, that's a reason for me to mistrust you. It's surprisingly easy to get this president to do what you want. And everyone's learned the game. You should play it. Do I blame Emmanuel Macron for pretending to like the president and pretending to flirt with him just to get what he wanted? Not really. What he wants is good things. What he wants is protection of international agreements. What he wants is to fight climate change. What he wants is to fight nationalism and racism. And I support the president of France's goals. It's a little demeaning, sure, to pretend to like someone that you don't, to allow someone to engage in basic primate behavior, which is what they're calling it on the news, kind of like an orangutan, right, where you pick orangutans pick dirt and fleas and things off each other. They groom each other. I guess that's what Donald Trump was doing in wiping off Macron's jacket, called it dandruff in a way, I guess, to put him down. Kind of weird that not very attractive president is putting down, Macron, much younger and more, let's just say, more normal person. But I want to explore in this hour the psychology of Donald Trump. I want to think about what kind of person grows into be the person that he is, because he truly is pathological in a way that I don't think we see from, well, I don't think we've ever seen from any president in the United States before. I mean, after all presidents like compliments, but virtually all of them have the ability to care about something beyond compliments, beyond themselves. They had goals. Some goals you might like, some goals you might not like, but no one would ever say of Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan, or Barack Obama, or Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Harry Truman, they didn't have strong goals, things they wanted to accomplish. I get the feeling that Donald Trump really, there's no there. I mean, I know he wants to enrich himself and his family. Okay, that's kind of a basic corruption. And I know he really, really likes flattery. He really wants people to praise him, particularly praising him for things that he has absolutely nothing to do with. That he really likes. But what is the there underneath that really juvenile, immature way of looking at the world, looking at oneself? Is there any core principle to which Donald Trump believes? And then I want you to ask yourself, all the Republicans that continue to support him, the ones who give up whatever their agenda is, things that they claim to strongly believe in, free trade, for example, caring about
well, anything. I mean, I understand how Donald Trump helps them with some of their goals. For example, one of the big goals of Republicans has always been to get rid of regulations. Regulations really cause you a problem. For example, if you are a coal company, it's much cheaper to put your poison, arsenic, heavy metals, and so forth, into the river for other people to drink than to just clean it. And sure, people will die and people will get sick, but it's cheaper to just throw your poisons into the river than to actually dispose of them properly. So you don't want regulation. If you're an airline, say Allegiant Airlines, which has a long history of mechanical failures and frankly, by the way, don't ever fly Allegiant Airlines. You're really taking your life in your own hands. Mark my words, a very large accident is about to occur. And if you don't believe me, watch the 60 Minutes episode on Allegiant. But places like Allegiant don't want regulation. If you require airlines to inspect their engines for safety, if you require them to make sure their bolts are all in place so the plane doesn't break up or blow up or have a fire or smoke on impact, yeah, you'll save lives, but you'll also cause the business money. So Republicans very much oppose, as a general matter, regulation, because regulation saves lives, but it does cut into profits. And if you're a pro-business Republican, you no doubt put profits ahead of lives. After all, profits affect your shareholders. Shareholders might contribute to your campaign. And lives, what's a life worth? How many dollars, right, to your campaign account? Now, that may sound really cynical, but there are Republicans that are willing to support Donald Trump because they know he will get rid of safety regulations. He will get rid of environmental regulations. He'll get rid of anything that causes a company to spend more dollars only to save lives or protect our health or all those other things that government does. So I get why some Republicans support Donald Trump. But the thing is, even they could make a distinction between the man and the policy. They could say, I hate all government regulation. And so I'm glad when Donald Trump allows my companies to make more profits by ending safety regulations, but still don't trust the man. I mean, what would you do? What would you do if you had a boss that only responded to flattery, didn't respond to argument, didn't respond to logic, didn't respond to the costs and benefits of a proposal, didn't even respond to an ideological need? Right. Some, you know, people might respond to biblical allusions or might respond to a cultural affinity. Some might call it racism, but for certain people. But what do you do with a boss who believes in nothing but flattery? What you do is you start flattering that boss. And that's why people like Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump have a lot more in common than someone like President Emmanuel Macron. Macron is willing to look silly in order to flatter his boss and in order to flatter Donald Trump and to make it look like he supports him when really he actually disagrees with him. Well, Kim Jong-un, he's surrounded by yes men too. And if you don't agree with Kim Jong-un, well, you might just die. He apparently executed his uncle for only half-heartedly clapping when he appeared on the stage. He noticed how hard his uncle was clapping. But apparently that's what he did, and that's what dictators do. It's also what extremely immature people do. How are we to judge this president? How are we to judge the Republicans that support him? I'd like to hear from you on this. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
Schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
What?
Got a conservative who casually misquotes the Bible and the Constitution? Send him to school with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Talking about the psychology of this president and kind of how it affects world events, but also just the people in his cabinet. What does it mean to have a president who doesn't really believe in any policy but is susceptible to flattery? Well, you get surrounded by yes men, yes women, by people who will tell you what you want to hear. But it also means that nothing gets checked. Nothing gets vetted. The president hears lies from his personal physician saying he's not obese when he is. And suddenly that guy is appointed to be the nominee to run the Veterans Administration, right? And people who criticize, people who challenge him, are increasingly put out of office. I can't recall in my lifetime any revolving door of cabinet members or others working in this administration as frequent as Donald Trump's. So what does it mean that this guy wants yes men, yes women around him? I think we have to think about who Donald Trump is and what he's done his entire life. This is a guy who's made his entire life out of lies. Even it dates back, I just saw a guy there from Forbes magazine. He pretended to be his own publicist and lied about his net wealth. It turns out he had less than $5 million and he claimed to have more than $100 or $200 million. And in doing so, got put on the Forbes list of wealthiest men. And in doing so, it was able to make a lot of business deals based on this fraudulent depiction of his wealth. So this is a guy for whom fraud is a basic life story. It's where he comes from. It's what he is about. It is where his bread is buttered. So given his where he comes from, lies how he's always gotten out of a situation by playing tough, by pretending, by nastily treating those that oppose him, and by raining fantastic attention on those who praise him. But the presidency may be the one place where he gets in trouble with that. He's got his own associate, Michael Cohen, who is apparently going to jail, and someone who has flattered him all the time. We're going to get to more of that after the break. Call in if you want to join in the discussion, 888-488-6275.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
I'm your host, Mark Levine. Talking about the psychology of Donald Trump, flattery will get you everywhere, and the dangers of being surrounded by people who always agree with you. Now, you can't really blame the people. People that don't agree with Donald Trump get canned. They get fired. Even world leaders like Macron and Angela Merkel of Germany, they both agree really on the same things. They both support actions to stop climate change. They both support immigration. They both oppose nationalism. They both support international cooperation. But, well, Macron's a better faker than Merkel. Macron is willing to allow himself to be personally, let's just say, condescended to, mistreated, flattered, whatever that little bromance was between Trump and Macron. But in order to get his point across, which is why I thought Macron lost nothing in the deal, Merkel, I guess, personally can't handle that, maybe because she grew up in East Germany, where that kind of regime is so personally offensive to her. That you know, she doesn't want to undergo that humiliation. I don't blame her. But I guess it's hard to get the message across. When should you? And I ask this as a general question to my listeners, and maybe y'all can call in at 888-48-MARK, 888-486-275. When should you flatter a boss to get what you want? Is it ever okay? Is it sometimes okay?
Do you respect Merkel more for not caving in and pretending to like Donald Trump? Or do you think Macron, being sneaky, is getting more what he wants? When should you flatter your boss to get what you want? I'll leave that out for you. 888-488-6275. Let's go to Nick in Humboldt County, California. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing well, Mark. Well, you know, as far as the flattering the boss thing, it'd be different if he was the boss, but he's not. We're the boss, okay? He works for us. So I'm tired of this, you know, these games that they're playing. But I wanted to point out a point that, you know, we knew who this guy was. He was a public figure for 30-plus years.
Right.
You know, there was books written about him. All you had to do was just look, and you could see who this person was. I still can't understand why so many people fell for it.
Well, what's your view? Why did? So you obviously didn't. But and obviously, listen, the majority voted for Hillary Clinton by more than 3 million votes. But we had a whole Russian campaign to discredit her, along with, you know, Jim Comey working at that time to discredit her. And people who really, really wanted to believe in a – here's the thing that gets me is that the Donald Trump's base – who is Donald Trump's base? Who are the people that support Donald Trump the most? They are rural, elderly, white men without an education, or without a college education. They're the people who are what they say Trump's base. Now, Trump has other bases, too. He's got bases of some very, very rich business owners who are billionaires and want to make more money. But those people, while they have tremendous amounts of money, have very few votes. There are just not that many billionaires in America. What do you think explains, and maybe the answer is just racism and hatred of immigrants and some homophobia, maybe too, but what explains the call to people who usually you wouldn't think would be impressed by a fast-talking New Yorker?
Well, for one, you know, I think it was the way he's a con man, okay? He's a con man through and through. So he'll tell you what you want to hear to close the deal, all right? And you also have to remember this, according to Fran Lebowitz, who's known him for over 40 years, a socialite there in New York, you know, she said the real, you know, people say he's crazy, and he might be, but the real danger about Donald Trump is he is the most stupid person you will ever meet.
That's right, he's not very smart.
You will never meet another person that stupid. And so that's what makes him so dangerous, because he's it's the...
Stupid can talk to stupid better, is what you're saying.
Well, he can sell... You know, but I can smell. I mean, I used to be in sales, you know, and I couldn't sell anything. I didn't believe. I couldn't lie to people, so I never was really good at it. You
oh
know?
Yeah, well, that makes you a lousy salesman, Nick.
You
got to be a better liar than that. See, I think one of the reasons why Donald Trump finds it easy to lie is that he has no conception of truth or falsity. Like most of us, when we tell a lie, we have some compunction about it. We feel a little guilty. We're like thinking, oh my God, this is a lie, and I'm telling a lie. So we look guilty. We would probably fail a lie detector test because we get all nervous when we tell a lie. I mean, Richard Nixon, for all his faults, at least had the decency to know he was lying to us when he lied to us. Right? When he said, I am not a crook, he knew he was a crook, and you could tell because he would sweat and he would exude. Donald Trump, I think, hasn't the mentality, or I don't know if it's the personality or the mental capacity, to even understand that lies are wrong. So for him, a lie, a truth, it's whatever you need to say to get what you want, period. And
I agree.
It's fascinating, though, that anyone would fall for it. And I think part of the reason is this. It kind of brings me back to the people that were in the Heaven's Gate cult or were in Jonestown and literally drank the Kool-Aid. That's, of course, where the expression comes from. Reverend Jim Jones in Guyana gave everybody poison in Kool-Aid, and they drank the Kool-Aid, and they killed themselves. And that's become an expression in our culture. I think once you've been conned, you have two choices. Either you admit to yourself that you were stupid enough to be conned, recognize the con man, but in doing so, be willing to criticize yourself and say, oh my God, how could I fall for that? I was an idiot, but I see it better now. But in doing so requires some degree of self-reflection, some degree of self-criticism. Or you can drink the Kool-Aid, follow this guy to your own death, see it in the back of your mind, but not see it in the front of your mind, and never, ever, ever admit a mistake, as you drink the Kool-Aid or fall off a cliff or castrate yourself or whatever, you know, cult followers do. And I
think people
don't want to admit that they've ever been wrong. And so they keep following him.
Agreed, but you know, this guy was good. This guy, that's how he's made his fortune.
How good is he? You know, and, to me, it's so obvious. I don't know. I mean, Trump University?
Well,
is it,
look, I
is,
didn't believe him. Yeah.
No, but is it that
people wanted to believe him.
You know, I wonder if there's this mythos in our capitalist country that if you have money, therefore you're good. I think we have this weird conception in America where it's never so much stated as understated, but this idea that Republicans put up all the time, if you're poor, it's because you're lazy. If, you know, you have to work three jobs to take care of your kids, if you don't make so much a year, you're lazy, you're a bum, you're stupid, and there's this connection between money and I think it goes the opposite, too. They even call it, in Christianity, there are these new...
Calvinism.
The opposite. I'm thinking, what do they call it?
Oh, the
prosperity gospel, they call it. The prosperity gospel.
There it is.
So
yes.
Jesus taught, of course, that the meek shall inherit the earth, that it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. He threw the moneylenders out of the temple. Jesus was not a rich man's best friend, all right? Whatever he was not on the side of the wealthy and the connected. And yet, to take Christianity, a religion named after Christ, this man who preached against wealthy, connected people, and to say with the prosperity gospel, as they do in so many megachurches these days, you're wealthy because God loves you, and of course the converse is, if you're not wealthy, God must hate you, and therefore you need to give more money to these rich preachers with these megachurches so they can have these wonderful mansions because God wants them to be good, and it leads to really a caste system. Where, you know, the rich have everything and therefore deserve everything and therefore deserve more, while poor people have nothing and therefore deserve less. And whatever this is, it certainly ain't Christianity. And it didn't used to be what was considered moral. So I think that, I don't know, America is this one place where there's nothing wrong with being rich, nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with striving to make a lot of money. But when you start thinking that money equals respect, when money, you start to think that having a lot of money means that you're more worthy or more worth listening to or less likely to con you, that just leads into, well, Trumpism. I don't know. What do you think? That's my theory.
Well, it mystifies me. It means all the information was there. All you had to do was look at it, you know? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand how these people got duped to begin with, outside of the fact that they just wanted to believe.
Let me ask you this. You live in Humboldt County. That's where Eureka is, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you live in a small town in super northern California, which is probably a fairly liberal town. Is that fair? It's rural.
Well, we have one town. Right. Most of them, liberals kind of rule up here, which is, I don't know, I like it.
What's interesting is you're liberal and rural, whereas in the rest of the country, in most of the rest of the country, rural means conservative. And I don't know whether it's because y'all got those great trees up there and everyone seems to be an environmentalist, but I think a lot of people just follow their milieu. They follow the people around them. And if all your friends and family and so forth are Trumpists, whether because they're you may not be racist yourself, but maybe they're racist and therefore they're Trumpist and therefore they tell you lies about Hillary Clinton and then you watch Fox News and then you believe all the lies. And, you know, we're in our own silos where we're only talking to people with whom we agree. And liberals do this, too. Google is only giving us the searches that we agree with. One of the reasons why I like to bring Republicans on the air, I get criticized for that sometimes, is because we do need to talk to the other side. I'll tell you this, the Republicans I talk to in private, including in the Virginia House of Delegates, Virginia Senate, they will not tell me positive things about Trump behind the scenes. They might do it in public. Behind the scenes, they seem to all recognize, because these are mostly not stupid people, they recognize he's a con man, they recognize he's dangerous, he supports their brand, and they want to be loyal to their brand, but I don't know anyone with truly a basic intelligence and understanding of U.S. government and education who loves Trump, because I think even Kellyanne Conway knows that Donald Trump is an immature, uneducated con man. She's doing it for the money. She's getting what she wants out of it. But I don't think she believes her own lies. I really don't.
There are some true Trumpers out there. There are some really, I mean, people that have just, their point of view, they just love the fact that Trump is, you know, hassles the liberals and makes, calls everybody names. They just think that's so great.
But, well, it's
know,
all,
these
it's,
people
it's,
are
it's,
a little bit defective.
It's he's on my team. That's what it's about. It's not about policies.
There it is.
It's not about free trade. Yeah. It's, I mean, some of it is racism, xenophobia. Oh, we hate immigrants. Oh, you know, foreigners that are coming across our border and they are brown skinned and they're dangerous and, you know, and but part of it really is he's on my team. And, you know, I've chosen sides and, you know, it's like sports events, right? There's no real reason to prefer the Boston Red Sox or the New York Yankees. But if you're from Boston or you're from New York, you're rooting for your home team. And, of course, sports, it doesn't really, you know, it's not like it changes the world. But people do tend to support their own team. And I just hate that America has to have – it's fine to have disagreements on issues. That's what America is all about. But the issues almost never get discussed anymore. It's all about what team you're on.
I agree.
Hey, thanks for your call, Nick. I appreciate it. Folks, if you want to join the conversation, it's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. When we come back, we're going to play some clips from the correspondence dinner on Saturday night. And I'll tell you why I thought some of them worked, some of them really didn't. Right back after this.
Never confuse Mark Levine with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. When conservatives attack, Mark Levine is ready, Constitution in hand. And here's our favorite lawyer now.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Watch the correspondence dinner on Saturday night. I didn't think Michelle Wolf was that funny, honestly. You know, if you're going to attack someone, look, obviously I don't mind attacking Donald Trump. I've been attacking him this whole show, well, or just frankly, accurately talking about his issues. But, you know, attacking Trump is fair game, attacking the Democrats, attacking the press, that's all part of what it's about. It wasn't the attacks. Is it to me, I don't mind how sharp the knife is, as long as it's funny, as long as it's clever. So just to give you an example of two of Wolf's jokes, one I thought really worked and, well, one did not. Let's play how she started her talk.
Yeah. Good evening. Good evening. Here we are, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Like a porn star says when she's about to have sex with a Trump, let's get this over with.
Right there. Now that's a funny joke.
This is who you're getting tonight.
That's a funny joke, right? Like a porn star wanting to have sex or required or whatever, having sex with a Trump person, let's get this over with, right? It's fair. It's true. That's fair game. And it's actually a good comparison. Now let's do one that I think didn't hit the mark.
We should definitely talk about the women in the Trump administration. There's Kellyanne Conway. Man, she has the perfect last name for what she does.
No, I'm okay.
Conway. It's like if my name was Michelle Jokes, Frizzy Hair, Small Tits. You guys gotta stop putting Kellyanne on your shows. All she does is lie. If you don't give her a platform, she has nowhere to lie. It's like that old saying, if a tree falls in the woods, how do we get Kellyanne under that tree? I'm not suggesting she gets hurt, just stuck.
All right, so let's, I mean,
Look, Kellyanne Conway does lie a lot. She lies regularly. It is her job to lie. That's true. It's not particularly funny. It's just a fact. You could give examples of that. You could show where she would take a situation and just lie ridiculously. Frankly, Barack Obama did that very successfully at the Correspondents' Dinner last year. Not last year, a couple years ago. You may remember where, or I think it's 2011, where he said Donald Trump is in the audience. He sent out his goons to check to see, where I was born, Obama says, because obviously there's this whole birther movement that claims with a ridiculous lie that that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. But rather than harp on the fact that Donald Trump was promoting a ridiculous conspiracy theory, Obama just took it to its logical conclusion. He said, and after he sends people to check on where I'm born, apparently he's going to look to see if we faked the moon landing, and he's going to see if there are aliens land in Roswell, and he mixed it with a whole bunch of other conspiracy theories. Now, I know to dissect a joke is to destroy it, but my point is that that's how you make a joke about somebody lying. Whereas Michelle Wolf basically said, Kellyanne Conway's a liar, let's put her deep in the forest. See, it almost inspires sympathy for someone I have zero sympathy for. And that's not where you want to go with a joke. I don't know. I thought it was a big failure last night. Maybe others disagree with me. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Reggie in Georgia on line 5. How are you, sir?
Happy Monday to you too, then, Mark.
Happy Monday.
Why are they making, or should I say, forcing her to apologize to Sarah Huckabee Sanders for making fun of her appearance? And as she said before, they should have checked her out and do all their full research on and or about it before they invited her over to the 2018 White House Correspondents' Dinner this past weekend. If they didn't want to hear what she had to say about them. I mean,
I guess what I'm saying is I don't think she was their best choice.
Right.
To pick her, partly because she's not from Washington. Mm-hmm. They made a big deal of the fact that she's from outside Washington, but she didn't understand, how to make a good joke. To me, you want to make a joke about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you find one of the ridiculous lies that she said,
right,
and you make fun of it. That's how Saturday Night Live made fun of Sean Spicer, right? He had more people at his inauguration, period. I mean, it's easy to make fun of that.
Right.
Huckabee Sanders has said all kinds of ridiculous things. Find one, quote her accurately, and then take it to its logical conclusion, much as President Obama did. Instead,
right,
she's like, she gives us the shady eye look, which she does.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I didn't think it was very funny. I guess funny's in the eye of the beholder. But I'm not. My point is, it's fine to attack Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She deserves it. I'm just saying, be more clever about it. Attack her for what she says, maybe not for what she looks like.
Yeah, and why did the press corps, including morning, Joel Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski, why were they clutching their pearls over what she said about her? Why were they clutching their pearls, what she said about her? They didn't think that she was all that funny either.
I mean, I don't think she was all that funny. I mean, part of my problem is this. So the Trumpists think there's this massive liberal conspiracy, this massive journalist conspiracy to harm Donald Trump when all they're doing is telling the truth about him.
Right.
These kinds of mean, unclever attacks, I think, just sort of they don't help the cause of journalism, I guess. I mean, I'm not grossly offended. I'm not going to be writing Michelle Wolf. She's a comic. She's right to say what she wants to say. I just thought it could have been done better. Stephen Colbert, I thought, did a really good job. And like I said, the single best person I think that I've ever seen do this is Barack Obama himself. Hey, Reggie, thanks for your call. Folks, if you want to comment about what you would do if you had a boss that was oversusceptible to flattery, leave the comments on facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.